Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Stephen Hofer, the DEA New Orleans special agent in charge. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us. Stephen, I want to talk about this in a little bit of a different way, and then we get to the one of the points that you want to make. Recently, the president declared fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. A lot of people are asking, what does that actually mean? Can you tell us?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a great place to start with this discussion. I mean, we're certainly happy to see the executive order that was signed. And primarily, what that means is because DEA has always been and will continue to be the best partner we can be with all the state and local law enforcement agencies and our federal law enforcement agencies, this gives us just another tool. And what I mean by that is DEA, that's, you know, historically and set up and resourced, and, you know, our number one mission is narcotics and large-scale narcotics. What this adds to it is our mission now takes on national security as well. And this means we can now leverage, you know, enhanced threat intelligence and national security resources so that we can identify the smuggling networks before they reach our local parishes. That's what probably makes it number one most important, this new executive order.
You know, I was reading through a number of news stories last evening, many of which are trying to downplay this importance. And I want to try and go at this way. Fentanyl is a synthetic drug, right? It's manufactured in a lab.
Yes, sir.
But it presents differently than most drugs, right? Most drugs, you don't absorb it through the bloodstream by just simply touching it and can have it kill you. Most drugs, you don't, you know, peripherally inhale it and it'll kill you, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, with the
but fentanyl does
synthetics. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But fentanyl does, right?
Well, I guess what I'd like to start with off the top of that subject is, you know, every single person reacts to in accordance to how their body reacts. So I think that really leads us down to what these synthetic opioids, and specifically what fentanyl, and why it can be considered a weapon of mass destruction, because it is more of a chemical weapon than it is a drug, kind of like you're explaining. And that's why we're treating this drug trade like an act of war, because the cartels are using these profits that they make from creating these synthetic drugs like fentanyl to fund their insurgencies and the terrorism. But you are certainly correct that the other problem that synthetic drugs presents to DEA and other law enforcement agencies that we probably didn't see in years past when it came to the drug trade is there was always a growing season. You had to wait for the cocaine to the coca plant to mature and then harvest and create cocaine from it, along with heroin and marijuana, and go through the same process. Now with these synthetics, like fentanyl, it's a matter of just purchasing as much precursor chemicals as a manufacturer would want to, and just continuing to supply, because they're, and as you also pointed out, there, not only is it so addictive, but it is extremely deadly, as DEA is focused on educating Americans.
So the likelihood of utilizing cannabis in such a way to kill, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, it really just cannot be done in a different way. But if you were to take fentanyl and use it as a chemical weapon, and there are some examples and incidents of this in the not too distant past, you could accomplish the same by what we would know as traditional chemical warfare.
I 100% agree. Just as you explained, with cannabis, for example, it would be extremely difficult to accomplish the results that we're seeing, or specifically the killing of Americans that we're seeing through fentanyl. Unless, of course, and we have seen some of this, and we'd like to always let all your listeners and everybody that we can talk to become aware that doesn't prevent the cartels from mixing the two. There is multiple times in recent, through this past calendar year, that right here in our own, in the New Orleans area, that we have seized and come across marijuana that has been laced or mixed or sprayed with fentanyl to because you have unassuming people who maybe consume marijuana but don't recognize that there could very well be fentanyl that's included. So with your example, that would be the only way to accomplish those results. And as I'm sure you're well aware, the two cartels that are primarily responsible for this, that is exactly what they're doing, because they are ruthless criminal organizations that have nothing on their agenda other than to just make as much money as they can.
Now, you guys in 2023 seized about 77 million fentanyl pills and nearly 12,000 pounds of fentanyl powder. And because of the killing nature of this drug, that equates to 386 million deadly doses of fentanyl, which is more than the number of Americans we have living in this country.
Yes, sir. That year that you mentioned of 2023, I believe, was the height of when this war that we're in was at the height. I would be happy to report that those numbers are coming down some across America in calendar year 2025. DEA as a whole has seized about 45 million fentanyl pills and just a little more than 9,000 pounds of fentanyl. So the numbers are coming down a little bit. However, I think, and if we want to bring that even into a more local perspective, this calendar year of 2025, DEA has seized in the New Orleans area, when you combine the pills and the powder, it equates to about 1.2 million deadly doses, which is down considerably. I think about 30% down from the previous year. So I believe our method, we're on the path to success.
How much do you think? Obviously, the complexion of the border right now is very different, right, than it was 18 months ago.
Yeah.
To 24 months, you know, and basically the border has been shut down, and you kind of know that that's the case as it relates to the importation of this, because you're seeing them trying to do it in alternative methods, right?
Yes, we have. We've certainly seen a significant shift, whether a person would like to say that reinventing the wheel is coming around again, some old methods of smuggling drugs into the United States are coming back, and then, of course, new ones. Certainly in the last 12 to 18 months, as you mentioned, as the border has become much more secure, the land border in the Southwest specifically. But we have seen a pretty significant increase in the number of waterway attempts to smuggle drugs into the United States as an old technique. But then, of course, we have a lot of technology has improved, and as the border closed down, there's now drones, for example, can become problematic for us, but we certainly are becoming experts in that field as well, and so we have to be aware of it and get on top of it, and I think by having these new executive orders signed, that will allow us to be right in the mix with enough resources and the intelligence to be in front of those new smuggling techniques.
And that it really is the I guess the new clear and present danger of this is the utilization of drones and being able to fly them at almost ground level, fly them up just above treetops, fly them in all kinds of different ways, shapes, and forms in order to move drugs across the border and just simply drop it in what they would hope to be a safe location to be picked up by somebody else.
Yes, unfortunately, with the advance in technology of our day-to-day living, that we all enjoy the convenience of the delivery or getting supplies or just day-to-day goods. Unfortunately, as I know you'd be aware of, but the cartels and the other criminal elements are gonna do the same and work with technology. So DEA is we certainly are doing everything we can to become experts on that and be able to enforce those laws or combat it. I think another piece that goes with that is, and it may be a question out there of, well, why can't we just not allow or preclude drones from flying where they want to? I find it interesting when as I learn more and more about it is. Drones are extremely regulated by the FAA, and so what that means then is law enforcement, as with anything, cannot just go out and do whatever we want and just down drones. There has to be a legal process to same as seizing or arresting anyone else. We have to be able to use the current law in our favor.
Yeah, but the threat is obviously there. Let me ask you about carfentanil. We've heard some stories here recently about that. I understand that carfentanil is about 10,000 times more potent than morphine and 100 times more potent than fentanyl. I got to imagine, that there's going to be an anticipation that you possibly see an increase in the attempted importation of carfentanil as well.
Yes, and unfortunately, those numbers are exactly as you stated and reported. And I guess the other unfortunate piece is just what you'd anticipate is carfentanil has made its way into South Louisiana. As I talk to my peers throughout the country, It is growing increasingly as well, and it's because of that. For as cheap and as addictive as fentanyl is, you had stated the numbers earlier, that's how much more addictive carfentanil is and cheaper to make, therefore gives the cartels a better opportunity to make even more money at a lower overhead cost.
And part of the problem with some of these drugs, well, carfentanil, I think it presents in a way that it has a real long half-life. So when you deploy naloxone or Narcan, sometimes you're hitting these folks 3, 4, 5 times, right? Because of the half-life of the drug.
Yes, and for as much good as we have seen all across the country from Narcan, and really the educating of Americans and the availability of it, it's been a game changer when it comes to the fentanyl overdoses. The problem that we're running into is just as you had just talked about in that example of there may not be enough Narcan at a particular scene. If that was the case, if somebody were to try to help somebody that was overdosing, becomes a real problem.
But like for you guys and your agents, and I want to go back to this because I really want the public to understand. I think there's a lot of misinformation about the, fentanyl and carfentanil and the dangers of it. You guys open a trunk and they got this stuff wrapped loosely I mean, your officers and what used to be my officers, they're so at risk for dying by being that close to it, touching it, getting it in their bloodstream. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it.
It really is. It is a danger that I know we've had to spend a lot of time in training and educating the agents and all the law enforcement community and first responders throughout, really all across the nation, in the proper technique and having the right equipment and making sure they're extremely careful, because as you've talked about, there is just numerous cases all over the country where people, first responders, become accidentally overdose from responding to a scene. It's extremely dangerous. And if I may, I'd like to point out one additional point that kind of goes with that. And a lot of your listeners may have heard of or have family members that are treated with medical grade fentanyl, for example, when in the hospital or from their physician. And I think that's one of the other misconceptions here, is that the medical grade fentanyl that is used in hospitals and medical facilities is a wonderful advancement in medicine and a great drug that when utilized properly. But I think what some listeners may not have heard of before is that what we're talking about is illicit fentanyl, where there would be people that order the precursor chemicals that are needed to make this product. They go into a garage somewhere, they go to a warehouse, they might just be out in a jungle somewhere in Mexico, and they're not, you know, they're not regulated in any manner. They're just mixing these drugs together. They don't know how strong it is, or did they get it right, mix it together, put it in the pills, get it dried out to be the powder, smuggle it into the United States and sell it as they can, and get it to the distributors and the people that end up buying it, whether they know they're buying fentanyl or they think it's fentanyl in another form, like a counterfeit pill. But there is certainly a distinct difference there, and that's why it's so dangerous, is because in your example, when an officer opens a trunk, no one knows exactly how strong that fentanyl or what's in behind that plastic wrap really is.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to cover that before we jump into some of the ways that you guys are trying to gain and garner the attention of young kids. In fact, y'all have engaged in an initiative called One Pill Can Kill Game Over Tournament. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. For the last several years, there's been a campaign that DEA has headed up, and as you mentioned, One Pill Can Kill. Very, very simple slogan, but certainly powerful, because everyone in America should know that they have to, when it comes to prescription pills and prescription medicine, they should only take and consume those medicines and prescription pills that come from a licensed pharmacist that's prescribed to them by their physician. And where we've run into problems, or where the overdoses and poisonings have happened, is people, if someone purchases what they seem to be a prescription pill through social media, for example, it's absolutely not legitimate, and it's going to be a counterfeit pill. And 2 years ago, our numbers were showing from the seizures we were making, is about 7 out of every 10, or about 70% of those counterfeit pills contained a deadly dose amount of fentanyl. We have gotten that down to about 30%, so we're somewhere about 3 out of every 10 pills now. So the word is getting out, and we are getting the opportunity to educate Americans. We have been able to use several different platforms, and one is, as you mentioned, through a gaming system, and it allows us to connect with young people and make sure that we're having those conversations in that arena so that we can get out and educate Americans, because word of mouth is going to be the best way to talk about this. So if we can educate a handful of young people and they can talk to their friends, schoolmates, workmates, we know that's making an impactful change.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just so, the game, the rules seem to be changing all the time. When I think back into the not-so-distant past about synthetic marijuana and what they were just spraying all over that, you know, to increase the high, to increase the sensation, and you know that they're spraying fentanyl and they'll be spraying carfentanil over some of these same substances over and over again, just putting our young kids at significant risk. They don't know what they're buying. They don't know what they're getting. And there's no QA, QC going on here. Quality assurance, quality control. I mean, it's like playing Russian roulette every time, right?
Absolutely is. Absolutely. I mean, we talk about it a lot with myself and the other agents at the EA, and that is, the only way to determine if a prescription pill or another narcotic like marijuana has a deadly dose amount of fentanyl that's either laced with or mixed into that substance is after a person consumes it. There is not a test ahead of time to determine, and that comes because, unlike legitimate medicine or any other products that's purchased that are regulated to ensure they're properly made, no one's really sure what they're consuming when it's a counterfeit pill, for example.
Real challenge when you hit the ER too, for physicians,
yes,
to figure out, you know, how they reverse the effects of this because of what you just described. Stephen Hofer, DEA New Orleans Special Agent in Charge. Stephen, thank you for all that you do. You know, on behalf of our listening audience, thank the DEA and all the men and women of the DEA the sacrifices that they make. We really appreciate it, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to be on your show, and happy holidays to all your listeners. And we certainly appreciate all the support that we have in the New Orleans area, in the state of Louisiana, and all throughout the country. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Renee Laparolari, the Deputy Mayor for External Affairs incoming in the Helena Moreno administrations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We've been communicating with the Helena Moreno incoming administration, and we thought it was a good idea to begin to introduce a number of the folks that are going to be in key positions in the incoming administration to you. We've been a little bit delayed because of deficit gate, budget gate, banner gate, veto gate, but we're here, and you know, they asked for a volunteer, and Renee Laparolari said that she was willing to come on first. So you're the first victim, Renee. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Noel. Happy to be here.
Everyone else took a step back, and Renee was the only one standing there, right? So, Renee, if you would, introduce yourself to my listening audience. Tell them a little bit about you.
Okay, so I grew up in St. John Parish. I'm very proud of that. My mother's from uptown. My dad's from out there. But I've been in the city over 30 years, graduated from Loyola with a communications degree. And not long after that, went through the Institute of Politics. And I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, that happened to a lot of folks that went through IOP, right?
Yes.
So you will be the deputy mayor for external affairs. If you would, explain to our audience what that means.
Sure. In addition to executive office logistics, the scheduling and the mayor's movements and coordinating with different departments for what she needs every day, that includes the Office of Community Engagement, so neighborhood associations and organizations, civic organizations and groups, cultural organizations, faith-based, basically, you know, any organization that we can have outreach with. It covers all of that, external affairs, literally.
Yeah.
And I'll be working closely with the chief of staff, who has, you know, government relations and communications. We're already working closely together, and there'll be a lot of synergy there as well.
And that's important because each one of those identified groups that you just articulated have their own infrastructure in place, and a lot of times it's a lot easier to get that information out, penetrate the neighborhoods to get folks to know exactly what's happening with whatever challenge may be presenting itself or otherwise, right?
That's exactly right. And something, and I did manage Helena's campaign. I was honored to do so. And definitely something that I heard from people, I was with her a lot at different events, is their experience with her as a legislator, a state legislator, as well as a council member, is she was kind of often their last stop. They called 311. They met with a disappropriate person. But with Helena, I heard them say over and over that they felt heard. And, you know, maybe she couldn't deliver every single thing people needed, but they got a response. They felt heard. And she fought for many, many people, as was illustrated in the campaign through, you know, testimonials from so many folks. And
you
that's something
have
I
a back
through in my role as well, you know, is for people to feel heard and responded to, and just let them know what's going on and take their issues and concerns in.
You have a reputation, I hear it a lot, about being very organized and understanding, you know, what lanes people travel in and how to get things done. It seems to me that you were a great choice for this particular position, because that seems to be some of the breakdowns of what you just described, you know, of what has gone on in the culture of the city for a number of years.
Yeah, so I agree. I've just coming off of the campaign with Helena for 11 months. I started with her in January. It's just really been the perfect training ground for transitioning into this position, because I feel like it is an extension of what we've done for the past year, or as far as my integration with her style of leadership, right? So...
How would you best describe her style of leadership?
Well, she educates herself on issues. She knows a whole lot about a lot of things. If there's something she doesn't know, she's going to get to the bottom of it. She loves a lot of detail. She likes to be informed when approaching, you know, any issue. And she's determined. She's a fighter. She doesn't give up. So it's very inspirational. Very inspirational. A great, great example for, you know, for the administration, for everyone that'll serve in the administration.
Renee, I had hoped that you know, there's probably multiple levels of this transition that's going on, and I understand that at some levels things have gone well, but at other levels, obviously, what's out in the public, not so well. Anything so far about this transition that's really surprised you?
Well, that there's this energy and enthusiasm despite the level we're at right now with city services, people do believe that there will be a change, and Helena is a change agent. So it's actually people, you know, people who are serving. There are over roughly 300 people serving on the transition committee. I know many of them, and I've recently met some of them, but they're really enjoying serving. And what I think is unique, from what I can remember, I've only served on one transition team before. But we're going to go into the first 100 days. The committee's going to work into the first 100 days. I heard Helena say that she doesn't want department heads to come in on January 12th and just be handed a transition report, right? So people, the department heads and the deputy mayors, that we get to interact and interface, rather, with this community engagement phase of the transition that will be rolled out pretty soon, but again, we'll work into the first 100 days of her administration. So I think that's different.
Yeah. You know, when I had Helena on the show talking about the transition, you know, about the budget that she was putting forward, I happened to go to lunch at a restaurant in Metairie right afterwards, and I was stopped by several people. And there was one lady that said, you know, I don't understand how we got in such a bad financial position. She says, I'd love to figure out a way for me to volunteer to help. She goes, I'll mop the floors in City Hall. That's exactly what she said. You know, it just, wow. it blew me away, you know, of the hope that folks have with the incoming administration. And of course, you know, the challenge with that, you got to manage and massage it very carefully, right? But it is encouraging that as we've come off this like 3 or 4 months of not really a whole lot of good news and a lot of friction.
Yeah, you know, we met people in the campaign. I can think of a good handful of very committed volunteers. And these aren't people that own businesses and that's their interest in seeing, you know, New Orleans succeed. These are everyday people that gave a lot of time to the campaign. And they're like, they love the city. That's why they did it. They love the city. Maybe grew up here, but it doesn't matter. It's because it's important to the region and they recognize that. And they gave a lot of their time. And they're like, oh, I wish I could vote for her. So we met folks like that, too, during the campaign.
So for you, in the first 100 days, what do you hope to be able to accomplish? I mean, I know everybody's thinking about, you know, I was never I'm not a big 100-day kind of person because I never really liked it, but you know, everybody kind of thinks about the first 3 months, what they're going to do, how you're going to go about doing it. What is your mindset right now as you approach that?
Well, especially as I look at the community engagement piece, are there things, you know, low hanging fruit can mean a lot to a neighborhood, right? I know Helena mm-hmm. talked about streetlights and traffic lights and all of those things. So I'm going to be looking for that on the community engagement piece. And, I mean, it could be something as simple as communications itself. I really haven't gotten into it. I'm going to meet with the staff. We're bringing on some staff. But I would love to be able to deliver things that are, you know, some really low-hanging fruit, and I imagine there are things there, just little nuances or anything that we can do to improve things for, you know, and I'm talking about neighborhood associations now, but there could be organizations, you know, on how to access and interact with city services.
Renee, if you get streetlights in neighborhoods, they're going to think you're the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now. I mean, you're so right. I mean, I know you're kind of downplaying it right now, but I mean, the reality is the low-hanging fruit is so obvious, right? And it reveals itself in many different ways. But the expectations of the public sometimes are fairly simplistic, right? Street lights at work, traffic signal lights at work, you know, maybe a pothole or two getting filled.
Exactly. And we dealt with this in the campaign. There is still obviously the expectation for, you know, streets to drain and, you know, in all that doesn't negate any of that. People expect that as well. But again, there are other, you know, day-to-day things that they do and should expect to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you spending time with us today. Thank you so much. And, you know, we're going to have other folks in the deputy mayor position starting there, coming on, revealing themselves to our listening audience. There's a sense of curiosity out there. You know, people want to know who Rene Laparolari is. I've had opportunities to meet you and have known you for a number of years. And I know you worked with my wife at one time and a lot of respect there she has for you and what you've accomplished, and we wish you the best and look forward to hearing from you in the future, and hope that you have a quiet maybe or take a few days to relax during the holiday season. I said that to Helena the other day. I said, you better find a few days to relax, because you're not going to have many after the first of the year. So.
Well, thank you. Best to you. I was going to ask about her. Merry Christmas to you all and to all the listeners.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great holiday season. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, again, just a reminder that Santa Claus will be visiting us on Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, from 10 to 1. Get the kids to call in, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'd love to hear from your children and give them the opportunity to converse with Santa Claus. We always look forward to that. And I want to thank Helena and her administration for allowing us access to their deputy mayors to introduce them to our listening audience. It's always kind of good to put a voice to a person, and you get to hear what their thoughts are, their background. Rene Laparolari is a very competent individual, and glad that she's going to be part of that administration, and we'll begin to bring more and more of these folks on for your benefit. We think that it is very, very important. So I want to wish the Tulane Green Wave community good luck tomorrow with the Ole Miss Rebels. Feeling good about it. A lot of things have been happening, but everything has been really positive and really excited for the Tulane community, and we hope that you are too. We will definitely be watching that game tomorrow. And I guess my wife said she had a whole bunch of Christmas gifts for me to wrap. So I guess I'll be wrapping gifts and watching the Green Wave play tomorrow on Saturday. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot. Stay with us. Free for All Friday with Scoot. What's coming up?
Yeah, we've got some more bad Christmas songs to play for you this afternoon, and a couple of Christmas traditions, and then there's some interesting things going on with the Epstein files, and we will talk about that too.
Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.